is the Lord. You know, when I lost my job at CAS, I prayed. I said, "Lord, what you gonna do next? What's gonna happen?" And I went to a job fair at the labor department, and they looked at my skill set and they said to me, "There's going to be a job fair the next day." And so I did what everybody else does. You go home. You next day I dressed up and I went to the interview. You know, when you go to a job fair, there's tons of people. And I prayed and I sat before the DM for some reason, because there was the DM, then there was the store manager, and there was a few more people, probably HR, and you would get different people. You don't sit in front of all of them. Whoever comes available, you sit, and they would. And I happened to get the DM. I talked with the DM. He talked with me. And when I left, I was sure that God had given me the job. And I just knew it. And I waited for the call. And I had, you know, I said, "Lord, if this is what the amount I want." And guess what? They called me and they gave me the amount I wanted. And I was positive, 100%, that this was the Lord. The Lord brought that job to me. The Lord gave me that job, and I got the job. Went and I got the training in Atlanta. I think it was 8 weeks. I would go on I'll go up on a certain date, and they rented one of those extended stay hotels for you with a little microwave in there, and I would stay there, and then I'll come home for a couple of days, and then I'll go back. And then the training was all over. It was nice. And then I got to the store and I start working. It was okay for a while. And then I said, "Lord, this job is hard. I don't think a manager should work this hard. In fact, the managers worked harder than the employee. I had to offload trucks. I had to stack the shelf, and I didn't have all the time. I go to Walmart, and I see them stacking shelves, and it looked like they have all the time in the world. We had a time limit to have the truck unloaded, because if the truck stayed at your dock too long, your store got charged, and you didn't want your store to be charged. So when that truck showed up, you had an hour to get everything out of that truck, and you didn't have really any help. It was just the manager and the truck driver. The good part of it, everything was on pallets, and we had a pallet jack that was operated by a battery, so we didn't have much. But once we get it in the store, they had a guideline of how long it takes to get that truck from the back room to the shelves. And by that time, by the time I finish offload the truck, the other two employees would show up, and we had to have that truck put up on the shelf before we leave that day, and we had to leave on time. And we weren't allowed to take the electric power jack on the sales floor. So you had to take that jack, the manual jack, and when you pull that thing, I mean, you're giving it all your strength. And if you got one that was filled with a lot of cans, God help you. After a while, I start to complain, and I wonder, is this what you guys just don't understand? And I'm thinking, I start to complain to myself, and that's how hard the job was. My knees start to complain too. And one day, driving home, the Lord reminded me, "I gave you that job," and I had to change. Have you anything in your life that you know 100% that God has said to you, and say, look, this is what I want you to do. This is what I have for you. But then somewhere along the line, something happens, or it just doesn't turn out the way you think it should turn out, or the idea you had in your head it should turn out, and you start to doubt, was this really God? And then you do things like this. You know, when I started, I know something was wrong, you know. I could tell. We start finding reasons to justify that maybe God didn't speak to me at all. People, I've been in that position. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. When Jesus has finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Jesus, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the leper cleansed or cleaned, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor has the good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Now, if I could go back and look at John for a minute. John's birth was miraculous. And I guarantee mom and dad had told him about it. Not only that, those who knew about it have told him about it. He knew that his parents were pretty old and past the age of having children. He knew that the Lord sent an angel and talked to his parents. He knew that he was going to be, before he even started his ministry out there in the wilderness, he knew for a fact that he was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He knew it. He had no doubt. He was groomed up. He was told. It was spoken in his life. His parents told him what kind of miraculous birth took place with him. And he took off and started his ministry. And he was a guy that loved the outdoors. And he was out there and enjoying the outdoors and preaching up a storm. I mean, he had the boldness of a lion. And the way I know that is, he looked at the king and said, look, king, what you doing ain't right. You're not supposed to have your brother's wife. And when he spoke the truth, he was put into prison. Now think for a minute. You love the outdoors. You love watching the trees. You love going and walk down to the stream and let the water run through your toes. You just love it. And all of a sudden, you're put behind bars. You're confined to a space. Not only that, it's not like the prisons we have here. In fact, I hear that some people, they get out of prison, and because they can't really function, they do something to go back in prison because they're getting 3 meals a day and they get to watch TV and they get to go out in the courtyard and hang out for a bit. It may be confinement, but it is tough. But in John's day, prison was no joke. And in his dark hour, he had some doubt. Was that really you, God? God, was that really you? Was it you really speaking to me when you said, go to college? Was that really you, Lord? Was that really you, Lord, when you say, give up that job and start a church? Was that really you, Lord? Was that really you, Lord, to tell me to pick up my family and move to such and such a place? Was that really you, Lord? Was that really you, Lord, to say, come and be part of Shalom Christian Fellowship? Because right now I just ain't feeling like it. Did I really hear you, Lord? Now, I probably said this a few times. I got a Bible from a guy in college, and that statement that was in that Bible, he doesn't even know this. There was a statement written in the back part of his Bible. It says, don't doubt in the light what God, no, don't doubt in the dark what God has given you in the light. Here's this, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized, prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Come on. How much more you want God to just show it to you? I mean, if I was to start Shalom Christian Fellowship and God had appeared to me and say, this is it, I wonder if I would really doubt when it gets hard. Here is a man that had a miraculous, I will call, experience with God. God affirmed, God pointed, God touched, God revealed the Messiah to him. But yet, when he is in prison, when he's at his darkest moment, there is something going on in his mind that he had to call and say, go to Jesus and find out if I got it right. Now, some of these commenters says that that's not what was going on with John. They say John was just wanting to his disciples to be affirmed that Jesus was really Jesus. When I read this passage, I don't get that at all. And actually, that was coming from the Calvinist camp, because they couldn't understand if he's the real, you know, when you have one way of thinking, you have to make everything fit. But when the word of God collides with what you think, you better let the word of God win. John chapter 1 and verse 29 give us a nice picture. It says, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold. Now here is John. He has a ministry like nobody's business. If it was today's ministry, he would have the one of those that they have in Atlanta, 8,000, two services each. You know, you can't get in and get out. People just come in to see and to see what's going on. Some people come in because they really want to hear the word of God. Some people come in because you're famous. He had a ministry. And while he is there, here, John and Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose, I come baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remain on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent him to baptize, sent me to baptize with water, said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is whom baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. How did John get from being so sure, being so positive, being saying, this is it, to getting somewhere over here and wondering, did I get it right? Sometimes we allow our circumstances to stand in the way. Maybe it's being in prison, he was not getting the full story of Jesus' message. I don't know. Now, he wasn't in prison for like 10 days. He was in prison for more than a year. So maybe when he first got into prison, he was okay. Maybe he was expecting Jesus to show up and get him out of prison. You know, I don't know about you. Do you know sometimes we could handle it for a short while? We could handle almost any situation for a little bit of time. Because we think, you know what, it will get better. And the reason it's going to get better is because we have been taught that when you serve Jesus, he can get you out of anything. When you serve Jesus, Jesus is going to turn anything around. When you serve Jesus, Jesus is going to come and When you're in a dark position, and he's going to bring you out to the light. You take a person, maybe because you take a person who is love the outdoors, and then you confine them, it may be difficult. Maybe the idea he had for Jesus' ministry, he wasn't seeing displayed. Because, you know, Jesus was supposed to bring peace. Jesus was supposed to, in their eyes, to come and take over and to bring Israel in a better place. I go ask you a question. What is in your life right now that is making you doubt something you were so sure about in the beginning? Something you were sure that God said yes. And now because of circumstances, you're doubting, did I ever hear from God? You know, this happened in marriages a lot. You sit down before two people who want to get married, and you counsel them, and you talk to them, and you know what they say to you? God brought us together. We seek God. God tell us, this is the one for me. And then 6 months down the road, now that she hear all that or hear all that, you wonder if you hear from God. We see it in the church today. I still remember a few years ago, there was a young lady. She came to the church. After coming about 2 weeks, she come up to the front of one of those fellowship Sunday, and she says, God sent me here. She says, she'd been driving by, and she knew that this is where God would have her to be. In less than a month, we didn't see her anymore. But I knew where she worked. And I went to her and I said, I went to see her at her work. I said, we miss you. And she said, God has moved her on. Just because it's not what she expected it to be. I could tell you this. When I went to Florida for the first time, left my hometown, I went to Florida, I prayed, I asked God, Lord, I need you to place me in a church. I want to be in a church where you want me to be. And I remember walking in that church for the first time. I didn't hear the man preach. I didn't know what kind of worship they were going to have. I didn't know how many members they have. I was walking inside the church and God said, this is the place. It's the same church that tried to convince me not to leave and go to school when God told me to go to school. It's the same church that I feel pressured in. It's the same church I had things I didn't like. But I never left there until I went to Toccoa Falls College to college. And then when I went to college, I took a position at a church to lead worship, and I couldn't find, no church wanted to take me because they wasn't ready for interracial marriages. And the church decided to take us, and we decided to come. It wasn't working out. I really, to tell you the truth, I didn't seek God about it, but I was so happy to find somewhere that would take us the way we are. I came to Warner Robins and I started there. And things wasn't working out. And I went to the pastor and I said, I really think we need to leave. And give us a couple of weeks. Let me tell the people goodbye. And he said, don't do that. Leave right now. And that's what I did. And then I start searching for another church. And I prayed. I said, God, I want to be where you want me to be. I don't just want to go anywhere. And I remember walking in to Shalom Christian Fellowship at Carl Vinson, that is now Word of Life. I didn't hear the preacher preach. It was a Wednesday night. And when I walk in, they all were praying up front, and I just went and joined them in prayer. And when I finished, I went home and told my wife, found the church. Because she always gave me the responsibility of finding the church, and she just came along. And we went there for more than 14 years. It was rough after a while because the pastor left, and we got a new pastor, and the things were changing, and it was rough and it was hard. But I didn't go anywhere until the pastor called me one day in the office and give me the pink slip in a nice way. Why? Because, folks, we are too easily moved by our circumstances and not by God. God never promised us that it's going to be easy. Do you think when John started off, he think he was going to be in prison? Come on now. Do you think when John started off his ministry, he think he thought he was going to be in prison? He heard all his life that he's going to be the forerunner for the Messiah. He have heard all his life that he is an anointed child. He have heard all his life, your calling came before you were even born.
And maybe somewhere in his head that was there. And when he was in that situation, he wondered, what is up with my calling? I should be out there preaching. I should be out there directing people to Jesus. But here I am in prison. I wonder what Joseph thought after getting a few visions and revealing his visions to his brother and to his parents, and then he ended up in a hole. His life is threatened, but God saved his life through one of his brothers. And then he escaped the hole, and he now is in a better place. He is second in command. He's thinking, things are looking up. Things are surely looking up. Until one day, he had to flee. And now he's in prison. I wonder what he thought. I wonder what was going through his mind. And then he helped out some folks that were supposed to put in a good word for him. And I don't know if it ever happened to you, but after he helped them out, they forget about him. But God always have a way. God never tell you your journey is going to be easy. David is anointed king. You'd think God would just send a lightning and kill Saul. And David will just step up to the plate. But David had to run from Saul for his life. And when David had just conquered a tribe, he's conquered, and he gets back there with his men. All the wives, the kids, the sheep, the goat, everything is gone. And the men ready to turn on him. I wonder what David was thinking then. What do you do in your darkest hour? What do you do when it is not looking the way you think it's supposed to be looking? What do you do? I like what John did. He went back to Jesus. He sent his disciples to the source. He said, go and ask Jesus. Are you the one, or should I look for another? Sometimes we take things into our own hands. We don't even go to the source. We don't even seek what God would reveal to us in our situation. We just take matters into our own hands and do our own thing. He went back to the source, and Jesus responded. Now, you'd think that Jesus would have said, yes, I am the Messiah. I want to remind you of what happened when you baptized me. I just want to remind you that, go tell John, remember when I was coming, you saw me and you said, no. I want you to baptize me. You remember that? Oh, Jesus would say, you remember when I came up out of the water, how the dove came down and you heard God, Jehovah, spoke to you and said, this is my son? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? You see, some of us, sometimes we expect God to go back to where he spoke to you. Remember, before you did this, you're reading the word of God, and I said to you, this is what I want you to do. You remember that? Sometimes we want God to take us back to the experience of where it began. But Jesus didn't do that. I wonder why. Because to me, it makes sense. It's good proof. It makes perfect sense. Because that was a powerful time. John, didn't you remember that the heavens opened? And the dove, the Holy Spirit came down? Don't you remember that?
And don't you remember you heard the audible voice of God speaking to you? Come on, John, wake up. Smell the roses. But Jesus said this. Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The leper are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Here's the thing. He's reminding John of the prophecy that was spoken and it's being fulfilled. He's reminding John of Isaiah's words. Do you ever look at your circumstances and see what God is doing instead of see what God is not doing? We look so much of what God is not doing that we are discouraged. We are ready to give up. It brings a lot of questions. But Jesus says, don't look at what God is not doing. Look at what God is doing, fulfilling His word. Sometimes we lose sight of good relationships because all we can see is the bad. But I guarantee you, if you look at anyone and any situation, you can see what God is doing. Because God is always doing the will, His will. And Jesus is always doing the will of the Father. Do you know today, if I go back to some of the scriptures that started me on journeys where I knew God spoke to me and I read them, I wonder, how did He speak to me in that scripture? What I have to look back and see is how God is working. And God fulfills His word. And that's what He was showing John, the word of God is being fulfilled through me. John was, I believe, now the Bible doesn't tell us, but I think for that moment, John was looking at his circumstances. John was expecting something totally different than what was happening in his life and his calling. And he was right where he's supposed to be. Why do I say that? Well, Jesus could have showed up and get him out of prison. Jesus could have showed up after they cut his head off and put it right back on there and bring him back to life. Because Lazarus was dead. But he went to Lazarus. See, sometimes I don't understand God's purpose. I don't understand how God operates. I don't. And I never will until I see Him face to face, and then it wouldn't really matter. Because if God shows us everything, we may do nothing. If I knew that Save-A-Lot was so much work, I'd have prayed God for a different job.
I would have said, that can't be God, because God wouldn't give me a job like that. So when I'm done, my knees are bad. My varicose veins are swelling up. God wouldn't give me no job like that. God wouldn't give me a job where I have to wake up 2 o'clock in the morning to get to work early enough to offload a truck after closing 11 o'clock the night before. God wouldn't give me a job like that. My God is too good. But my God is good enough to give me a job like that. Here's our problem. We let those things hinder what God wants us to do. We let those things hinder us. Last statement. I thought I was letting you guys out early, but because Ed gave me an extra 10 minutes. But I'm using it up, praise the Lord. Jesus said, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Now that word has in it not just offended, but stumbling. Sometimes we stumble because we have been taught or we have understanding that God don't work this way. I've heard that. If there's a God, why is so many babies dying? If there's a God. If God had called me to this, I wouldn't go through this. If this was really God, this wouldn't be happening. And I believe sometimes we don't see the full release of God's anointing in situation because we don't give it any time at all. Because if this was truly God, I wouldn't have to do this. Do you know, when people were turning me down because I was married to someone of a different race, I wondered, Lord, what are you doing? Did I really hear from you? Let me tell you something. I knew I hear from God that I was supposed to marry Jill. I knew it. But in the circumstances, can't find no ministry, you start to think, Lord, what's up here? Did I really hear? Let me tell you how I knew it. But I prayed a lot. I was one of those, I never did even get married because I wanted to make sure I was marrying the right woman. But I break up with Jill about 5 times, ask her. Because I wanted to be so right. I wanted God to put the hand, I wanted to wake up one night and see on the wall, okay, marry Jill. I'm not kidding. That's what I wanted. Number one, I know marriage was for a lifetime. See, that's why it was hard on me. I know once you say I do, you did, and that's it. No matter who they are, once you say I do, that's God's perfect plan and will for your life. And I remember the day Jill was walking down the aisle. I had no doubt in my mind. Now, I see Jill, she was shaking. For me, I was positive. I had no doubt, because if I had any doubt, I'd have run away. I'd have been the runaway groom, not the runaway bride. So guess what? Whatever comes, it's God's will, because wherever God puts you, he has a reason, he has a purpose, and he's building in you what you need. And to tell the truth, I love my wife more now than I love her then. Some of you give up too quickly. Because you guys just want it the way you want it. and you forget that God says, yes, this is what I have for you. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us, Lord, that in the dark hours of our lives, we don't doubt what we knew that you have spoken to us. And if there is a time that doubt is coming in, don't let us just make our decision, but let us go to Jesus. Let's spend time before his face and let him show us how he is working and how he's operating in that situation. And Father, most of all, don't let us stumble just because we are not in the ideal situation that we see it's supposed to be or how we see it. But let us always remember that you said this, you will always be with us. And let us remember that even John, as he was such a powerful minister of the gospel, anointed to do that call on his life, but yet he was beheaded. Father, help us. Help us, O God, to just look to you in everything. Because, God, we want, when we stand before you, we can hear these words, well done, good, faithful servant. Let us truly become your servant. Because when we are a servant, O God, we'll do what the Master wants us to do because our life is not our own. And Lord, I could hear most of us saying this morning, help. So help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a